It's estimated that during this year of 2011, more than 12,000 Australian women will have been diagnosed with breast cancer. And sadly, within that same 12-month period, one-fifth of those women will lose their lives to the disease. And with statistics like that, I wouldn't be surprised that you and just about everyone you know has been personally impacted by the disease. Maybe you have struggled or struggle with it, or you know someone who has or currently is. And maybe you've done something in the past to help raise funds or awareness for the battle against breast cancer. October is and continues to be Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and as part of this, the Cancer Council's Pink Ribbon Day is coming up on Monday. Funds raised during this period will go towards prevention programs, support services, and research into causes and finding a cure. With the fact that one in every nine women in Australia will be diagnosed with breast cancer by the age of 85, awareness of the issue is as paramount as ever. Professor Ian Olver, the Chief Executive Officer of Cancer Council Australia, joins us this morning to tell us more about Monday's Pink Ribbon Day. Professor Olver, welcome to Overnights.
Good morning, thank you. Good to be here.
Before we talk too much about Monday and some of the things that are happening, let's talk generally about the issue of breast cancer in Australia. It's still a significant problem, isn't it?
It is a significant problem in terms of the incidence, but there is some good news that the death rate is actually going down. And when you see a big gap between the incidence over 12,000 and the death rate about 2,700, it means that there's a lot of women living with breast cancer or surviving breast cancer.
So very important to emphasise that fact that 80% of those women who will receive a diagnosis in the 12 months of the year 2011 and in the years to come, there is great hope.
Well, there is, and that's why it's so important to get messages about early detection and screening out there, because the earlier the disease is when you present, the more chance there is that you can be cured.
Has a lot changed in treatments to improve that survival rate?
Look, the two main things that have improved the survival are the screening program, which not only detects very early cancers that can be cured, but sometimes cancers before they've actually invaded. And the other end of the spectrum is we have actually improved treatment, and we're now moving into targeted therapies that are proving quite successful, drugs like Herceptin, which target a proportion of the breast cancers and have been quite effective in improving the survival rate.
Have we also become a lot less conservative about quite simply saying the word breast out loud and saying it out loud on programs like this and in public forums?
Look, I think that's been very important, and one of the big consumer groups, the Breast Cancer Network of Australia, now has 60,000 women, and they do a lot of work providing information. The Cancer Council, of course, is always there to provide information about breast cancer, but yes, the awareness of it and talking about it has helped people that are facing it for the first time not have to sort of hide the anxiety they feel and not have to hide their diagnosis like perhaps our grandparents did.
And of course, let us not forget that although the numbers are much smaller than they are in women, men are also diagnosed each year with breast cancer.
Yes, men are, and of course men tend to present a little bit later, so the figures are not quite as good for men, but it's a very rare cancer in men. It's treated much the same way as breast cancer in women is, and it can be quite responsive, but it often presents later when the men actually feel a lump on their chest wall.
Let's talk about the impacts of a diagnosis of breast cancer and how it affects not only the person receiving the diagnosis, but their loved ones, friends, neighbours and workmates.
Well, I think just the diagnosis of cancer is always frightening, but if you look right across the board, everyone that's diagnosed with cancer today, over 60% will still be alive in 5 years' time. So we've got to get over the idea that this is some rapidly acute illness and start thinking of it more like a chronic disease. And in breast cancer, it's particularly the case that if you present with a localised breast cancer, you have a very high chance of being alive in 5 years' time. And we're seeing that with regularity. And also, the treatments have evolved, so if you like, they've become less invasive, and many women can have breast conservation procedures where they don't have to lose their breast. So things have changed quite dramatically.
There are, of course, many focused campaigns now for the various forms of cancer, not just breast cancer, but it's certainly very high profile with things like Pink Ribbon Day and Pink Days at the cricket and footballers wearing pink jerseys during football seasons. Is it the most common form of cancer?
Well, it's in women, it's the most common form of cancer, but of course, across the board, there are other cancers that are more common on a worldwide basis. I mean, something like colorectal cancer, for example, affects both men and women. And of interest and great concern, actually, is that although it may be the most common cancer aside from skin cancers in women, unfortunately, lung cancer is actually now becoming the most common cause of death in women rather than breast cancer.
Mm. And there, it is important to remember those the differentiation between the diagnosis numbers and the survival numbers, isn't it, or the death numbers?
Well, that's right. That tends to tell you that there's progress being made in treatment and you've got a lot more people surviving breast cancer for longer.
We've already had 3 weeks of the month of October for this year, so that's 3 weeks of Breast Cancer Awareness Month and still a bit to go until the end of the month, including Pink Ribbon Day on Monday. What sort of things have been happening during the month of October?
Well, a lot of it's about the pink colour and reminding people about breast cancer and particularly reminding them of the importance of presenting early. That means being screened when they come into the age group, and all women between 50 and 70 in Australia can have free mammography screening. But also we encourage women to become aware of what their breasts are like, and if they notice a change, to get it checked out. In many cases it may not be breast cancer, but if it is, the earlier the better. So we're raising awareness, but there's all sorts of pink merchandise about, and pink's now very much associated with breast cancer, and there's a lot of fundraising activities by the organisations like ours that have programs in breast cancer. We try and come up with new things. We're encouraging everyone this year, at least on Breast Cancer Day, to wear pink to work, for example.
Do you think women generally know how to perform that self-examination properly?
Look, I think the emphasis has been taken away from a formal way of performing the examination and just saying, look, just get to know what your breasts feel like, and if there's a sort of an obvious change, and particularly anything that persists, go and get it checked out, because it could happen at any time, even if you're doing monthly checks. I mean, it's better if you notice something in between the months to go and check it out. So we've become more informal about that, but we don't want women to ignore something that they think has changed.
But again, that message is, if you notice anything changed, don't delay, don't say to yourself, well, I'll see if it's there next week or at the end of the month or at the end of spring or end of summer or whatever, do something about it.
Well, that's right. And although women do have changes in their breasts with the menstrual cycle, nonetheless, they get to know what their breasts feel like, and so they can usually detect an abnormality on top of that. And they win both ways. If it's not breast cancer, they're reassured. If it is, they've got it as early as possible.
Professor Olver, do doctors, clinics and screening programs generally report a spike during October, November and December immediately during Breast Cancer Awareness Month and the short period following?
Look, a lot of the spikes have been related to very specific events singing stars or movie stars getting breast cancer. That tends to have a big impact. So, and people have actually studied that. Kylie Minogue and so on getting breast cancer. That related to a spike in younger women wanting to have their breast checked. So there's no doubt that awareness does work, and we feel the need to have this every year because you need to reinforce the message at that time.
Professor Ian Olver is the Chief Executive Officer of Cancer Council Australia, and he joins us this morning on Overnights as we talk about the first 3 weeks of October and what remains of October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and in particular Pink Ribbon Day, which falls this coming Monday. So what's planned for Monday for Pink Ribbon Day?
Well, there'll be a lot of merchandise out on the streets. We have a campaign going where we're trying to encourage people to wear pink to work and help us to fundraise in that way. There's a website, pinkribbonday.com.au, that gives you some ideas of what you can do to raise money and awareness of breast cancer. And we want to continue this improvement in breast cancer by funding research, but also, as you mentioned earlier, funding support not only for the patients but for their families as well. And, of course, information is very important too, to make that available in the many forms that you have these days, both online and in hard copy, so that people can get easy access to information about breast cancer.
All right. Now, Professor Olver mentioned a website there. There is also a 1300 telephone number, and we'll give those to you in just a few minutes. So if you need to get a piece of paper and a pen to write down either the phone number or the website address so you can donate or find out more about it, we can certainly give that to you again shortly. Do you have a target figure this year, Professor?
We do, actually. We've set a fairly ambitious target of $5.3 million. And we're very hopeful of getting that. I think we got 4.6 last year, so we feel that we can push a little bit harder, and that gives us more funds to share out on those three important activities.
About reminding everybody, whether you're at the supermarket or the petrol station or lots of places where you see those little boxes on the counter with a whole range of pink products, whatever they may be, it's as simple as just buying one of those while you're at the counter.
That's right. We try and make it as easy by having it the merchandise widespread, but you can also stay at home and just visit a website if you want to. So we try and make it easy for people to donate, and we want people to know that the money will go to breast cancer and will go to a whole spectrum of activities around breast cancer, because, as you mentioned before, support of patients is important, but support of their relatives is important as well.
If we could just talk for a moment about what you will do with that $5.3 million if you reach the... You did say 5.3?
Yes, that's
5.3,
right.
If you reach the 5.3, what will it be used for?
Well, a lot of it will go to research. Over all cancers around Australia, the cancer councils give about $50 million a year to research. And the big improvements we've had in all these diseases are a part of continuing to do research, finding new drugs, finding out more about the disease. So a lot of that, because of the commonness of breast cancer, does go to breast cancer. The other things we have, services like the helpline, and again, many of the callers to the helpline, and you don't have to need help, a lot of people call the helpline just for information, a lot of those will be breast cancer. And then there are things like supporting patient groups, so we organise groups of people with breast cancer to get together, because they're often the best people for supporting each other. Because there's a lot of understanding about what sort of emotions people are going through, and of course we need to provide information as well. And we use some of the money for sort of advocacy to get decent policy in. I mean, everything starts, the screening program is well developed, but it had to start from somewhere, and we had to convince governments to go into breast screening.
Professor Olver, of course, breast cancer in women and men doesn't just happen in Australia, it happens around the world, and there are some incredibly talented and capable and intelligent people both here and around the world conducting research in the continuing battle against breast cancer. Are we starting to make headway in this? Are we winning the battle?
Look, we are, and I think an important change has been understanding the genetic mechanism of cancer and being able to target genes and their products that are very specific to breast cancer, so you have a higher chance of stopping its growth. But because some of those altered genes are not found in any normal cells, you can do it without the same side effects that we're used to with chemotherapy. And the advent of the era of these targeted therapies has been very important. And fortunately, one of the earliest ones was the drug Herceptin, which we've shown in clinical trials not only improves the outcome when the disease is widespread, but can stop people relapsing if it's given after surgery. And there'll be more of those type of therapies developed over the next few years, so I expect the outcomes to further improve if we keep the research effort up.
Of course, when the word cancer is mentioned, there's one four-letter word that most people want to hear sooner rather than later, and that's cure. Is it realistic to hope that we will one day find a cure or some sort of preventable vaccine for cancer?
Yes, look, that's the aim. We certainly can cure. Cure is a sort of a retrospective term because you can only look back and say I was cured. That's why we use the term remission when we first get to the point where we can't detect any disease, and then if that lasts, it eventually becomes a cure. But we are getting to the stage, certainly early breast cancers are cured. There are people that have lived for decades. Now, we can never stop monitoring the people because we've found that they can relapse years and years later, but we're certainly curing early breast cancer. We've got to keep pushing away at that because it is realistic. But rather than there being one cure for all cancers, what's going to happen is we're going to sort of cure them one by one because I think they'll all need fairly specific therapies.
So there won't be one cure all?
I think that would be unlikely, and even vaccines, I think vaccines are teaching this. We don't have, in experimental situations, they're looking at vaccines for prostate cancer and melanoma. We haven't got one that's in wide use yet, and of course the one for cervix cancer is actually an antiviral vaccine which stops the virus and therefore stops the cancer. So it is a bit of a holy grail to have vaccines that will not only treat, but one day vaccines that will prevent cancer, particularly in women that we know or men that we know are at high risk.
All right, let's once again mention that website, Pink Ribbon Day, the sensible spelling of all three words, pinkribbonday.com.au, or you can call 1300 65 65 85 if you'd like to donate more or find out about the activities relating to this month of October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, pinkribbonday.com.au or 1300 65 65 85.